Hey everyone, happy Friday and happy Europe Day. This week we have an edition focused on some economic news with the future of the European Green Deal, a special Europe Day message together with the European Cultural Foundation, as well as a look into the future of the European auto industry. So let's get into it. Are Europe's green plans hitting the brakes? Well, probably not, but it's shifting from setting ambitious climate goals to making sure the EU can actually achieve them. Back in 2019, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen declared that the European Green Deal is our new growth strategy, promising billions in funding and new legislation to reach carbon neutrality. Many set binding goals to reduce carbon emissions, including for specific industries, like the ban on selling new internal combustion engine cars by 2035, the law reducing building emissions, or a carbon tax on imports. In fact, you can see how much the EU is focused on the Green Deal by looking at laws. From 2019 to July 2024, over 100 laws related to the Green Deal were adopted, more than any other policy area. And EU countries have ramped up spending accordingly, with 360 billion euros spent on the energy transition in 2023. But momentum, especially in the legislative area, stalled last year as right-wing political parties won the European Parliament. And the Green Deal faced criticism from industry, and farmers protested against what they saw as unfair rules. As a result, the EU has been cutting back on some rules that it was still set to pass. The Nature Restoration Law was adopted with a majority of just one country after being weakened, and the Commission withdrew its law to reduce the use of chemical pesticides. And as a result of this backlash, in February, the Commission presented its Simplification Law, which reduced sustainability reporting for companies. Just this week, the EU watered down emission standards for new vehicles, and finally, it hasn't made the promised 90% emission reduction by 2040 binding. And the EU now has two additional focuses on top of its reduced CO2 emissions: energy independence and allowing industries to deliver. To be a world leader in clean technologies, Europe actually needs industry, which is why it unveiled the Clean Industrial Deal, which comes with 100 billion euros in funding and relaxed subsidy rules to support the green technology sector and produce things in Europe. So, can it make it? Well, here the EU is also hitting a wall. With many of its own industrial projects failing, especially in these sectors like cars and batteries, European companies are turning to joint ventures, in many cases with Chinese companies which have the expertise Europe needs. So while the Green Deal is still alive and kicking, and with its goals still looming large in the background, it's now entered a different phase, more focused on supporting industries with fewer rules and more funding. But the long-term impact on European industry and manufacturing is still speculation, and a topic for another video. This segment is powered by the European Cultural Foundation, whose work helps Europeans stay united through culture, from supporting artistic collaborations to fostering dialogue through community projects. If you hadn't already noticed, today, May 9th, is Europe Day. It's a moment meant to reflect on what it means to be European. And that feeling of being European is growing stronger than ever before. In recent years, shared challenges like the corona epidemic or the Russian invasion of Ukraine have strengthened this feeling of unity. So, what actually unites people in this feeling? Well, European identity, that is, the values that connect us as Europeans, is hard to measure. You can only ask people how they feel, and even asking different European people what Europe is, you would get different answers. The top factors that contribute to this identity are democracy and the rule of law, shared values like freedom, common culture, and European history. But European identity today is closely linked to the European Union, which has tried to promote this feeling amongst its citizens since its creation. In fact, Europe Day goes back to the European coal and steel community, which Robert Schuman proposed 75 years ago. And surveys show that feelings of being European and a citizen of the EU have been on the rise for years. In the Eurobarometer survey last year, 70% of respondents felt attached to Europe, and 74% saw themselves as EU citizens. And to foster this feeling of European identity, what would be a better way than having Europe Day as a holiday that would be celebrated across the continent? A day to celebrate our shared values, culture, history, and future. If you'd like to find out more about Europe Day and activities, as well as many other activities organized by the European Cultural Foundation throughout the year, then go check out their website down below. Europe's automotive industry is facing a perfect storm: high costs, global competition, and massive layoffs. The shift to electric vehicles and competition from China have changed the playing field, or even the game. And the economic stakes are high. In 2023, the automotive industry and suppliers added 7% of GDP and supported 14 million jobs. So can Europe reinvent its auto sector, or has it lost its edge? Well, European companies still hold 29% of global market share, exporting 5.4 million cars last year, worth 165 billion. But it's quickly losing ground. European cars no longer have a cost or technology edge. And a big reason for that is that Europe fell behind the transition to electric vehicles, or EVs. While they're set to make up 40% of vehicle sales by 2030, only one of the top 15 selling EVs is made in the EU. While German car makers still bet on gas and diesel, Chinese BYD launched its first EV in 2008. German CEOs who mocked Tesla instead focused on hybrids, underestimating future EV demand. As a result, their EVs are simply inferior. And Europe is behind on the entire supply chain. It struggles with high battery costs, which make up more than a third of the price of an electric car. In fact, 11 out of the 16 planned battery plants across Europe have been delayed or cancelled, and Europe's battery hope Northvolt went bankrupt. As a result, more European brands are switching to buying Chinese batteries, and European car makers face high costs overall. German industry has the highest labor costs in the world, while European energy prices are over twice as high as that of US and China. As a result, vehicle production costs in the EU are 30% higher than in China. While Europe is slowing down, China is surging ahead with 60% of worldwide EV sales. Supported by massive subsidies, Chinese car exports to the EU increased a whopping 1,600% in the past 5 years. Faced with these challenges, European industry and Brussels are making moves to stay in the race. Last year, the EU imposed up to 45% anti-subsidy tariffs on Chinese EVs and is now negotiating minimum prices. But even with the higher cost, sales of Chinese EVs in Europe have doubled in the past quarter compared to last year. That's because even with these tariffs, Chinese cars are simply that much cheaper. Chinese vehicles are almost twice as expensive in Germany as they are in China, meaning they can easily absorb the cost of tariffs. And so European manufacturers are also teaming up with their Chinese counterparts. BYD plans to assemble vehicles in Hungary, Stellantis has entered a joint venture with Leapmotor, while Volkswagen partnered with XPeng. These joint ventures have technology transfer clauses that would allow European companies to access Chinese technology and benefit from their manufacturing expertise. Another part is about boosting demand. In March, the EU launched the Automotive Action Plan to boost demand and supply. It included 1.8 billion euros for battery factories, relaxed rules for clean technology subsidies, and boosting EV demand, including requirements for Made in Europe components. But the industry also wants less regulation. Last week, the CEOs of Renault and Stellantis criticized EU rules for driving up prices and called for simplification. And a final part of the puzzle is the need for lower energy costs. Europe's auto industry remains crucial to its economy, but it's under high pressure from high costs, global competition, and the shift to electric vehicles. So, will Europe shift gears fast enough? Well, the next few years will tell. And now for our weekly brief. In digital news, the European Commission is taking Spain, Poland, Portugal, Czechia, and Cyprus to EU courts for not fully enforcing rules on illegal online content as part of the Digital Services Act. In local elections in the UK, the Reform Party led by Nigel Farage made big wins, winning about 700 of 1,600 seats. They took over several councils that used to be conservative. Farage claimed Reform is now the main opposition party to Keir Starmer's Labour government. In a recent report, the European Court of Auditors has harshly criticized how the EU's 650 billion euro COVID recovery fund has been used. Their audit found that there's little info on costs or the results of projects, and that weak rules have made it hard to measure what the money actually achieved for citizens. In diplomatic news, French President Macron has met Syrian leader al-Shara on his first visit to Europe. Macron called on the EU and US to lift sanctions against Syria, while French companies won big on reconstruction contracts. This visit has raised a number of concerns, with al-Shara being a former al-Qaeda and al-Nusra front member, as well as an Islamist rebel. While he has pledged to protect minorities, sectarian violence against mostly non-Sunni Muslims continues. In New German news, Friedrich Merz became Germany's new chancellor in the second round of voting. On his first day, Merz visited French President Macron and Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk. In more German news, the German intelligence service has withdrawn its label of the far-right AfD party as an extremist organization. It will now monitor it as only a suspected case. Just last week, it labeled Germany's second biggest party as racist and anti-Muslim, a ruling that AfD had challenged. In energy news, the EU plans to stop importing Russian gas by the end of 2027. Countries like Hungary and Slovakia may push back, as they still heavily rely on Russian energy. In international news, the EU announced 500 million euros in funding to attract foreign researchers. It seeks to benefit from President Trump's funding cuts to universities, but it's unclear if the funding is enough. Harvard alone spent $2.6 billion last year just on salaries. In Romanian news, far-right candidate George Simion has won the first round of Romania's presidential election with 41% of the vote. He'll face centrist Nico Ciudan in the second round on May the 18th. The vote was a rerun after a court canceled the November election over claims of an illegal campaign financing by the Russian government in favor of another far-right candidate, Georgescu. Anyways, that was it for this week. If you like this video, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe for the latest updates and analyses on European news. I'll see you in the next episode.